Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show is brought to you by Dr. Yolanda Raglan and our great friends over at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution Beard Care. Go to RuggedEVO.com for more details. StimulatingRoots.com, that's R-U-T-Z, StimulatingRoots.com is an amazing hair growth system. Smooth Black Ink, a.k.a. superstar stylist Mr. Troy Ballard. The new book release, Prestige, all about professionalism and the barbering industry. And of course, all of us at Carapy, Hair Nation Expo, Road to Healthy Hair Workshop, our live hair events, and so much more.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapy Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
I'm away through the water.
I meditate for practice. Channel 9 News tell me I'm moving backwards. 8 blacks left, death is around the corner. 7 misleading statements by my persona. 6 headlights waving in my direction. 5-0 asking me what's in my possession. Yeah, I keep running, jumping to aqueducts, fire hydrants and hazardous. Smoke alarms on the back of us. For mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, try for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me. Honestly, God in me, I can be more than I gotta be. Stole from me, lied to me, nation hypocrisy. Cold on me, driving me wicked. My spirit inspired me like, yeah. Open correctional gates in high deserts, yeah. Open our mind as we cast away oppression, yeah. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. And when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it for every
freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? Not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music and writing. Mr. Matthew Knowles, I want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hey, good morning, Kerry. You know, I've been very fortunate and blessed to have done a whole lot of entrepreneurial types of ventures. And one is for 18 years, I co-owned and co-managed the number one hair salon in Houston for a number of years called Headliners Hair Salon.
Is that really? Well, we
I actually published a hair styling book, Kerry, called Hair International back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, we have got to talk about that. we got to figure out how you and I should have said music and the literary world on top of everything else. But how in the world did you get from the hair industry into the music industry, or are they kind of like one and the same as a lot of folks believe?
Well, for me, you know, I was in corporate America, and Tina, my former wife. I asked her one day what was her passion, and she said her passion was doing hair and making people beautiful. And I said, why don't you go to school, and when you finish school, we'll open a hair salon. And that's what we did. And that hair salon, we used one of the principles that I had learned, because I was selling diagnostic imaging to the medical. And I kind of use, when you go to a doctor's office, they ask you, you know, fill out all these forms, you know, why are you here, tell us your history. And then the nurse comes and take you to the room, and then she weighs you and takes your temperature and asks you why you're there and do your blood pressure. And then a doctor comes, and he looks at that on the door before he walks in. He looks at your patient history and why you're there. What your vitals are, and he's made a decision right there, what you need, he comes see you, and then when he finished, which is the quickest part of it, is when you see the doctor, he leaves, and then he writes a prescription. And I use that same concept in our hair salon, exactly, having many assistants. The stylist never left the chair, and I felt it was malpractice if a licensed cosmetologist did not continue and complete the service. And that service is home products for the customer. And so maintenance, home maintenance.
Like, yeah, after,
so that was our philosophy at Headliners.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. And you really you helped to add a whole different layer to this today. And we're so excited about it. Thank you very, very much. Now, I have to say, along the line, so the music, how did you get into producing music? I understand that you had, you know, I call it that whole passion for excellence and working for others and so forth and having that entrepreneurial mindset. But is that what kind of led you into music? How did you get into the production of music and that whole aspect?
Well, the production of it, you know, that's as an executive producer, you oversee everything from the studio, the travel, all of the paperwork that's involved. And also occasionally I had the opportunity to co-write Survivor and a couple of other songs with Destiny's Child. And you get into just over time, I've been in this field over 24 years now, and you pick up every aspect of it. Every aspect of it, and if you're passionate and you love it, then you want to learn every aspect of it, and that's what passion does. And you know, that's my new book, DNA of Achievers. You know, the 10 traits. The first one is passion. You know, are people doing, who's listening right now, are they doing what they're passionate about? Are they doing it for money? It's a big difference.
Well, you know what, let's talk about the DNA of Achievers and the 10 traits. We're not going to give all the traits because I'm going to do like Barbara Walters. We learn from the best. Don't give the top trait just yet. We're going to save that for the book. We want you to pick up this book. It's the DNA of Achievers. Now, the 10 traits of highly successful professionals. You mentioned passion. What are some of the, you know, how do folks recognize their passion? We do tell them that. We tell everyone, you know, pursue your passion. But how do you know what your passion is? You have any tips for that?
It's a very simple step. What is that one thing? And the key word here, Carrie, is one thing. Because the mistake most people make is they all over the place. They love this. They love hair. They love fashion. They love makeup. They love da-da-da. You know, that one thing that you can become really, really good and maybe even become great if you focused. So what is that one thing that energizes you, excites you, that you go to bed at night thinking about, wake up in the morning, can't wait to do it? And sometimes it's something that nobody even knows because you're embarrassed or ashamed to say, this is really my passion. And I tell everybody, I don't care what that one thing is, if you strive towards getting that one thing right, it will change your life, because if you are passionate about something, then it coexists with work ethics. Because when you are passionate, you don't work. You have fun all day doing what you love. That's why I really focus in on passion. What is that one thing that you just excites you? You can just go running out the door right now because it gives you that much joy and fulfillment inside.
We love that. Now, I do have to ask you, what's that one passion thing for you, Matthew Knowles?
Educate and motivate in the areas of entrepreneurship and music business. I've done it all my life, educate and motivate.
Wow. Well, I have to just let everybody know, you know, you launched one of the most successful, I think it is the top successful female group of all time, you know, Destiny's Child, and award-winning, and you've just done so much. And we're just trying to find out what is it that has created this inside of you. I think that this book, The DNA of Achievers, will tell us a little bit about that. I really do. I know the passion is one of the, you know, the first traits that you mentioned, but what are some of the other traits that we should really look out for in the DNA of a chief?
Well, I talk briefly about work ethics because they coexist. You can't have one without the other. You can't have work ethics unless you're passionate about something. And because if you're not passionate, you don't want to, you know, you hate doing it. You know, how many people wake up and hate going to work every day?
Well, that's kind of like majority of the folks. I think it's very few. God
bless them.
God
bless them because I've been very fortunate. Seldom. I have, you know, my early days, Goodyear, when I used to work at Goodyear in the summer when I was a young teenager. I was determined to do the job, but I didn't like it. Didn't love it. I was determined, but, you know, it's a certain joy you get of waking up and going to do what you love. Yesterday, I started at 7 o'clock, Terry, and I, in the morning. I finished at 11 o'clock last night. And I work normally 7 days a week. I go to the office on the weekends or do a ton of emails. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yes.
I love what I'm doing right now, talking to you. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Matthew. That is really, I have to tell you something. We are very honored to have you on the show. And something like this is so critical and important. But I have to go back a little bit. I actually love what you wrote because I kind of live by this myself. You know, back when you were working in, I call it like for corporate kind of, you were doing like the sales and, you know, that to me sounds like project management. And when you have so much that you're in charge of and all of that, and you were so successful, even in sales. It just reminds me of myself. I think when you are doing something, like you said, that you are passionate about, even if you're working for others and you're really happy about what you're doing, you know, it's automatically like a success, so to speak. And I just think that you don't necessarily always have to be an entrepreneur if that's not what you're, you know, in your spirit to do or whatever the case may be. But if you do whatever it is that you're supposed to do and you're passionate about and you love it, you know, you can make it into a success and you can feel that success. And I think this was, you know, so I read that line and I thought it was outstanding, you know, when you were working for the other company and, you know, you felt like an entrepreneur is what I'm driving at.
No. Carrie, I teach, one of the courses I teach at Texas Southern University is entrepreneurship in the School of Business.
Mm.
And the first thing that I teach, Carrie, is the biggest mistake and error that I think we make is we think we get confused entrepreneurship and owning a business. They are two different things. Entrepreneurship is a belief. It's a belief. It's a certain makeup. It's like a DNA. It's people that take risk. It's people that are highly energized. It's people that come up with ideas. That's entrepreneurship. There's a lot of people that own businesses that are business owners. They're not entrepreneurs. That's a lot of people that work for other people and are employees, but they are entrepreneurs in how they think, how they operate. So please don't get that confused.
Okay, that is a very good point and something that I absolutely need to bear in mind as well. Now, I have to say, and we're gonna definitely get on with some of these wonderful traits. We're going to talk a little bit more about the DNA of achievers. But, folks, if you've just joined me, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, and today we have a very special guest coming to us. It's Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, he has written a new book called The DNA of Achievers, and it's 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. So this is something that we're going to definitely talk a little bit more about. But also, Matthew, I want to get into some of your current projects, some of the things that you're working on these days and some of the plans that you have.
Well, Carrie, my passion has always been, even as a sales rep, when we truly think about what a salesperson do, they educate somebody on the product that they're selling, and they motivate them to buy it. And so what I've been doing most of my life is my passion, educating and motivating. And I'm doing that right now. I'm doing a number of seminars around the country. November the 14th, I'm in Macon, Georgia. November the 15th, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, a seminar that's called The Entertainment Industry, How Do I Get In? And these seminars are all-day seminar, and they're for recording artists, singers, managers, producers, songwriters, videographers, choreographers, hairstylists. How about that? Why would a hairstylist want to go to one of these conventions, those seminars? Because it's 300 people in a room, and they all, most of them want to get in the entertainment industry, and some of them hopefully will be successful. And guess what?
Love it.
They're going to need
love
a hairstylist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, tell us more. So this seminar, the ones that are coming up around the 14th and 15th of November, how do we get involved with that?
You can go to eventbrite.com.
Repeat that one more time.
Com, Gary.
Okay.
Eventbrite.com. Again, uh-huh. That's the entertainment industry. How do I get in? You know what, Kerry? I have to tell you, man, you reminded me, out of all the seminars, I mean, all of the interviews I've done on the DNA of Achievers,
yes.
I've never, and out of all the things I've talked about, clothing line, Darion, House of Darion, you know, headliners and Hair International, I seldom talk about, and I did that 18 years. Did you know, and for folks listening, they probably remember in the 90s that oversized hairstyling book. We had three volumes of it. One day, Kerry, I had to make the decision if I was going to be in the hair publishing book business or be in the music business. And I had to make that decision. It was I remember the day I had to decide. And
wow.
I had an office, and on the door it said Hair International Publication, and on the door it said Music World Entertainment. And
wow.
I had to make that decision. I used to go all over the country to all of those hair shows. And
oh,
I had,
to Bronner Brothers and all those big hair shows and all of that.
Bronner Brothers, all of them. I had manuals. I was educating back then. I had a manual called How to Open Your Own Hair Salon. I had an educational manual.
I
feel
like
called
I'm talking to someone that is amazing.
I had a manual called How to Build a Client Base, and then I had an appointment book that I created. And so some folks that are listening remember that Hair International publication.
So you should feel at home here at Hair Radio. That's exactly the kinds of wonderful things that we do and bring to the, you know, to the beauty world. So I love it. I love it, and I can't wait. I want any of those copies that you have lying around, you let us know. We're happy to see them. And if you ever decide to, you know, to add on to this wonderful book that you have out now, again, The DNA of Achievers, and you decide to do something in the hair and beauty way, you make sure and look us up at Hair Radio. We would love to speak to you about that.
I guarantee you, Kerry, I guarantee your listeners, they pick up that book, and they can go right now to Amazon or Apple and get the ebook. The hardback will be in stores in the next 30 days, but I guarantee you, I give you money back if after you read that book, The DNA of Achievers, and after every chapter, there's a work exercise. I actually, you know, that college professor comes out. I promise you, buy that book and you'll become better at what you're doing in the hair industry. Again, I did the industry for 18 years. And our first $1 million, Kerry, was made in 1984 in Houston, Texas, with Headliners Hair Salon.
And that was before we got to know you in the record producing world.
1984, Kerry. 1984.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's headlines.
Who
wow.
knew we were going to be talking about this, man?
Well, you know what? This is just amazing. And I'm just blown away. I really am. But I have to ask you, there was one of the traits that I saw, and I said, well, hold it, I have got to ask Matthew about this. Not that I want to talk about learning from your failure, too, because I believe in that, but I want to ask you what's your take on it. But what does talk-to-do ratio mean? I couldn't figure that out. What is talk-to-do ratio? And then I want to get into some more of this. But what's talk-to-do ratio?
Terry, you're in the industry that there's quite a bit of that, just like in the music industry, that people just talk about what they're going to do, the follow-up. They have an idea, they're going to follow up, or they're going to meet with you, or they're going to call you, and they're going to, and then you never hear from them.
Right.
You never
right.
hear a word from them.
Right.
And those two professions really do a lot of talk to do. And so it's measuring, Gary, the percentage of what we say we're going to do versus what we end up doing.
That's what it is,
measuring what we say we're going to do versus the percentage of the time we actually do what we say we're going to do.
Wow.
And you find that successful people, if they say they're going to do something, you know, we had an interview at a certain time. You were there waiting. I was there 3 minutes before the time, not after the time we said. We both were there like we said we were going to do.
That's right.
That's talk-to-do ratio, high percentage of doing what we say we're going to do. It's as simple
wow.
as that.
I love it. And, of course, one of the biggest lessons, and I want to certainly say some for the folks who pick up this book called The DNA of Achievers, but it's the learning from failure. We cannot not talk about that. How, Matthew, what do you say to folks who need to learn from their failure, or how do you learn from your failure?
We're going to have failures. We're going to make mistakes. When we take risk, sometimes we make mistakes. Just in life's own terms, we make mistakes and we have failures. But I basically like to keep life real simple. In this book, I try to keep it real simple. And I try to keep it real. I keep it real. And, you know, often we don't realize that mistakes are a reason and an opportunity for us to even become better, better at what we do, better as people. So it's an opportunity, but not a reason to quit. I like to say that mistakes and failures are an opportunity to grow, not a reason to quit. And if we haven't walked through some things, we can't grow. I could never tell you how to be the best, airplane pilot. If maybe you had never tried to fly a plane, and maybe during your training, maybe you learned some things the hard way that maybe you don't ever want to do it that way. Maybe you don't want to fly into a storm. Maybe that ride got so bumpy and got so scary that you thought it was going to crash. And so you learn, hey, if there's a storm, I'm not going to fly in it. I had that one experience. It taught me I don't want to do that. And so we have to walk through this stuff sometimes. And we have to grow from it. But what I find is a lot of people, they're almost there, Gary, of being successful.
Yes.
They make a mistake, or have a failure, and then they quit. They quit
but
right
is there,
before it's going to happen.
Right before. But you've always heard that, too, I'm sure, where they say, oh, you was just about to make it, and then, you know, you have a big, like, it always seems like some catastrophe happens or something really, like, I don't know, some folks say it's a test, that if you make it through that, then you'll be successful. It's a challenge sometimes. I have to actually say, being an entrepreneur myself, it can feel like a challenge sometimes. So, you know, this is really nice. I appreciate you creating a book like this.
Look, Gary, it is a challenge. But I have such a different approach. When it gets tough, that's when I gear up. That's when I'm ready.
That's when you get real.
Like, I put my foot on the gas when there's trouble. I don't, like, let up and say, oh, and start feeling sorry for myself.
Right, and start,
you know, poor pity me. That's not what successful people do, man.
That's right.
They said, okay, only person who's going to help me get through this is me and some good people around me that I can trust and believe in, and I'm going to get through it. First, you got to believe it.
Wow. This is amazing. You have to believe. I guess it goes back to, you know, like you said, the passion and the work ethics, but there is one other element that we probably have to at least address, and that's the vision. You got to be someone who can actually see it, I think.
And that vision is just, again, I like to keep it simple. It's having an idea and thinking the idea all the way through to execution of the idea that it becomes a real product. And so most people have vision, and the mistake that we often make is we go running out, we have this idea, and we go running out before we thought it all the way through, and we ask a friend or someone who we think is a friend, and we say, hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, man, that ain't going to ever work. Well, maybe you should think it all the way through, and so when you go to your friend, you don't ask them what they think. You say to your friend, you know what, friend, I need you to, this is my idea. I need you to invest $100 in this idea. Not, I'm going to ask you what you think about it, because I'm going to explain it all the way through. And I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking for your help versus your opinion. That's what a true visionary does.
Wow. I love it. Now, folks, if you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our very, very special guest today is Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, you guys know him. He's an award-winning executive producer in the music world, and he's also an author of this new book called The DNA of Achievers, 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. Now, we did not indicate number one yet. We're not going to give number one. I don't want to give that over the air, Matthew. We want folks to go and certainly order this book. As you said, you can get it from Amazon. We just want to promote it and put it out there. It's something that obviously, especially our fan base, our wonderful listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show, are very much entrepreneurs and would be able to gain something from this. So this is very, very exciting. Hey, I just want to turn back to music for one quick moment. I have one of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, when they found out you were coming to the show, they wrote in and they sent a question. And they said, and I thought it was very interesting because I don't think I would have thought of this, but have you ever, Matthew, thought of putting together a boy band or a male group or a male version of it? What do you say to something like that?
Well, you know, I'm working with a girl group. It just seems as though my magic is with girl groups. I was fortunate to work with Trinity 5-7 and gospel, and they, similar to Destiny's Child and pop and R&B and gospel, Trinity 5-7 is the number one selling female trio of all time in gospel. And so I have a female trio that I'm working with in hip-hop, two rappers and a female vocalist. Their name is Blush Music. I have to put emphasis on blush because it's spelled B-L-U-S-H-H-H.
All right.
And you will hear about these young ladies very, very soon in the next 3 to 5 months. So that's what I'm working with. I had worked once with a boy band, but... it's a different set of dynamics. I love the imaging part also that happens on the female side, and the approach for marketing is a lot different. And so I enjoy that. It's the most difficult of all is working with a female group because you have a lot of psychological dynamics that falls into play, as well as the imaging, as well as the music matching. And so that's a challenge, and I love challenges. So I enjoy that.
Well, it sounds like you can tie the success of something like that, and especially your projects, back to something like these wonderful trips.
But, Gary, I want to thank you. You know, I want to thank you. I really hadn't talked about the hair industry. And
I'm happy my publishers,
Angelo, and you know, those guys set up this interview because I seldom do I talk about. There were some great years, some fun years owning that hair salon. And then one day we called a meeting. Tina called a meeting, and no one knew what she was going to do. 18 years into the business, and one stylist who was an assistant for like 2 or 3 years, maybe even more, and he was not, you know, he wasn't gifted with the skill of being a hairstylist. He had to develop and work on it, and he came to work early, and he stayed late, and she called this meeting. And he had been with the company 10 years, and she gave him Headliner's Hair Salon in Houston. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house, in the room, when she gave this stylist the business, because he was dedicated, he was passionate, and he came early. And he stayed late, and those are the formulas of greatness, people who come early and stay late. And she rewarded him for that. But I have to run. I see they're knocking on the door, and
well,
I got to get going, man.
I just want to say thank you. I was so wrapped with that story. That's a great story. Listen, Matthew, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I do appreciate it. We have to pick up this book, The DNA of Achievers, and we'll stay in touch, and we want you to come back one day and bring...
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, R-U-T-Z.com.
Hi, everybody. Here's the true benefit of experience in a new book called Prestige by Jarrell Glass. It's all about professionalism in the barbering industry. Mr. Glass has said it all. Get your own copy of Prestige by Jarrell Glass at Amazon.com and listen to this new commercial airing on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very special guest with us today from the world of TV and film and the stage, Mr. Antonio Fargas. Welcome to
Hello.
The Hair Radio Show.
Thanks. Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
Yes, what a pleasure to have such a legendary performer. Well, listen, Antonio, yes, we're excited. Now, I want to go back. Let's go back a little bit. Let's start. Now, where are you from? I've heard some different stories. I said, let me just ask you, where exactly, where are you from? Tell us.
Well, my folks are from the Caribbean, basically. My dad was born in Puerto Rico, was Puerto Rican, and my mom is Trinidad, Grenadian, and she was born in Cuba because her father went there as an engineer to work on sugar mills, and so she was born there. I had another aunt born in Panama, but my parents met in New York, and I was born in the Bronx in 1946, and ended up being one of 11 children, and here I am at age 14. I found theater, or theater found me, or artists found me. I was a young man who felt different, and I didn't know why. You know, there was a strange interest in everything that I saw, and it sort of nurtured me. And until I found my mom saw an ad in the newspaper from the Amsterdam News. Up in Harlem.
Oh, in the old, the Amsterdam newspaper? Wow. Okay.
They're looking for a film called The Cool World. And it was sort of a documentary type film that was like West Side Story set in Harlem about two gangs and one guy who was a reluctant leader of a gang and how he found himself in a situation. And I played one of the young men who was part of the scene at the time. I was up for one of the lead roles in the film, but because I was just an innocent 13-year-old, 14-year-old, and but I did have the ability, because I could read well, I was able to interpret the script a little bit, and I gained an interest in the producers interested in me playing one of the lead roles. But they took some test shots, and I ended up getting just some small, almost like extra work in the film. But that was what gave me the desire and the encouragement to think that I could do that, and I would be in a movie that would be in a theater, like those people that I went to see in the movies in the 50s and the late 50s and the 60s.
So that was motivation.
They found me, and they gave me, I found other people who felt the same way I felt, and they embraced me, raised me, and here we are talking about it 54 years later.
Yes. Well, I want to find out. So, okay, that's terrific. We understand when you kind of got started about 14, but how on earth did you make it from that point to Hollywood?
Well,
that's a big mystery. How did you do that?
It was sort of the renaissance for black theater in New York there in the 60s, and I was able to be one of the youngsters who was brought into that scene in Greenwich Village, and then also in Harlem. There were a lot of programs. One was HARU Act program, which federal money that Lyndon Baines Johnson designated for to keep the summers cool and give young African Americans and disadvantaged youth an opportunity to train in the arts and dance and theater. And so I was in on that after the Cool World, and then you know, I went to see plays like the Blacks and some of the Mary Baraka plays while I was in high school, and I was cast in a play before I got out of high school. I was 17 years old. I was cast in a play called The Toilet by Mary Baraka, who was then known as Leroy Jones, who just passed away recently, a pioneer in theater and socialism. And while I was doing the play, I went and auditioned for a play by James L. Jones, no, by James Baldwin, which was getting ready to tour Europe. It was playing on Broadway, and they were doing a European tour. And Claude McNeil, the great dame of the theater, was playing the lead, who did the role in Rain Hansberry's Raisin in the Sun, played the mother. And she was going to play, I got the juvenile lead in that, and I toured Europe, and my mother and dad didn't go to my graduation because I had to be opening in the play in Vienna, Austria. And we toured all over Europe and even somewhat into the Middle East, because we played in Israel when Israel was just a young country at the time. And I bathed in the River Jordan on my 18th birthday, traveling with James Baldwin and the company and of artists that ended up in the at the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland, and some representatives of the Beatles manager, saw the play, heard about us, and brought us down to the West End. So I played on the West End in London when I was 18 years old, and then came back to the States and started studying. And eventually Robert Hooks, who was a very, very promising actor from Philadelphia, who joined Douglas Turner Ward and Lonnie Elder III, and they started the Negro Ensemble Company. And I was one of the youngsters. First, he started a thing called the Group Theater Workshop, and I was one of the youngsters who was part of that. And then it turned into the Negro Ensemble Company, and I played with a few plays there. And eventually, I knew that I'd have to get to Los Angeles if I wanted to be in film. But in between that, I did a film called Putney Swope, and by Robert Downey Jr.'s father, Robert Downey Sr. He did that movie, and then I did Shaft. And
with Richard Roundtree?
With Richard Roundtree. And eventually, I did a film called Across 110th Street, and the guy who directed that film directed the pilot for Starsky and Hutch. And so I made my way out to L.A., and I was doing a play with Michael Schultz at the Negro Ensemble Company called Dream on Monkey Mountain with Roscoe Lee Brown. And so
he was
in Los Angeles, and then I came back, and I said, you know what, I think I really want to be in Los Angeles. So I moved out, and...
Packed up and went west,
and then I heard that the director from Across 110th Street was doing a pilot for ABC for Aaron Spelling and Leonard Goldberg called Starsky and Hutch. And he wanted me to play this role of Huggy Bear. And then the rest is history, because I was cast in the film, in the TV pilot called Starsky and Hutch, and I played for 4 years and created an iconic kind of character, one of the many characters that I was able to play through the years. And Huggy Bear
absolutely
was all over the world. I mean, it was syndicated in over 100 countries. So that was my journey to Los Angeles.
Well, I have to say, even if you're just looking at Starsky and Hutch, and it had two, African-American co-stars, which even then, you know, was unusual. And I look back, I said, wow, we're really not even hardly there now. And so you're like, we've gone to the other direction. I want to talk to you about all of that. But, I mean, you had such, you know, and the gentleman who I believe he's passed on, and He was in music and so forth, such a great actor as well. It was a very, very, very well done show, obviously. And it's still, I watch it myself here in New York from time to time.
It's had a lot of
still
shelf
comes
life.
On.
And it's been all over, again, syndicating all over the world. And I get, I was doing a play in London, in England, and I had to take a taxi to the theater every night in this small town. And and inevitably, every one of the taxi drivers that took me was a different taxi driver, never let me pay for the taxi ride because they just wanted to thank me for what I gave them as they were growing up watching Starsky and Hutch, because they had to do their homework, you know, dip their bath and be, you know, because television was an event in London, in the UK, as well as in the States, when they only had three networks. And so anything that was on television was really a groundbreaking, and certainly Starsky and Hutch had those elements of which made young people wonder and made young people intrigued by these characters who cared about each other, and you know, each one was a survivor in its own right, and Huggy Bear was definitely a survivor. He used his ethnic wit and survival skills, because he had to survive in a hostile land of TV, make believe city life. And I was, and when I grew up in New York, I had an opportunity to see the Huggy Bears of the world and see some of the characters that I eventually would be end up playing in movies and television. So it was a great training ground for me just growing up in New York in terms of character research and whatnot. And Huggy Bear was very, very dear to my heart.
Well, you know, I want to ask you about the gentleman that you co-starred on this iconic show, Paul Michael Glaser and David Soul. What
and
was it like
my
along
brother,
with Bernie
my
Hamilton,
David,
of course?
Bernie Hamilton, yeah.
Yes. Exactly. So what was it like working with these gentlemen? And I believe you've done some things with them, with Paul Michael Glaser and David Soul since, you know, some appearances and so forth. But what was it like then on this hit show?
Well, we didn't know. You never know that something is going to, we're going to be talking about something 30-something years later. It was just a job. And, you know, and I was very, very felt blessed and lucky and, you know, and just to be working in the business and to realize that it's about the relationships that we created. You know, we had a friendship and a bond that went beyond what you saw on the screen. Just like the, you know, football players and you know teams have relationships that go beyond what you see on Sunday. But and those were the things that were special. Those were two very guys who cared about. Who cared about carrying the weight of the show on their shoulders, because the show was called Starsky and Hutch, and Paul Michael Glaser carried that weight, and they brought their own special brand. They fought the fight every day, and Bernie and I joined them in that struggle for excellence and to be able to portray our characters with dignity. And Huggy Bear was my responsibility to find the dignity of the character. And that was almost all of the characters that I played, again, because I represented the hood a lot in a lot of the roles that I played. So I had to find the spine and the dignity and the grace and the will to survive in these characters that I played. And certainly Huggy Bear was one of those. And it just melded very well because everybody knew their place. You know, I never wanted to aspire to be the star of the show or the usurper or think about it. I just wanted to do the best I could with my lines when the camera pointed at me and to help serve and to drive the story.
Well, most often that was the most memorable, especially
I've
for me.
Oh,
you've had some great results. I mean, as you mentioned, Shaft and Car Wash. And my favorite, just me, myself, of course, you know you from Starsky and Hutch and all of these wonderful things that you've done. But personally, I mean, this one scene in your movie career, and speaking of the movies, I'm going to get you sucked up. I can, that scene when you come out of, I believe, the police station or the prison or whatever, after having been, like, locked away or whatever for years, and the style's kind of changed, and you kind of, you know, touch your hat and look around, and then you step down those steps with those fish in your shoes. If I just even think about it, I crack up, I swear to you. I kid you not. It is just the funniest thing in the world to me. So, you know.
In other interviews about how I was sitting in front of Eddie Murphy at the premiere of the film, and he said that was the funniest shit that he's ever seen. You know? And, you know, that's from a guy who makes his living at doing that, so I took that as an honor. And it very well, that the character of Fly Guy very well paralleled the character of Lindy. He talked about car wash. You know, and that one scene, I say, I'm more man than you'll ever be and more woman than you'll ever get. And that, and then also coming out in those shoes, in the platform shoes of the goldfish, and him really believing that he was the thing, and still.
Yes, well, that look that you gave as you, you looked, oh, my, yes.
You know,
well, Antonio, I mean,
it's so funny that it's really tearful because it's the pathos of it, you know. Sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying, and those are the kind of characters that I really like to play.
Yes, well, it was just hilarious, and I, like I said, not only do I, but so many other folks, the first thing that they mention is that role, so. You know, and you've done a whole lot, and for everybody and each generation, everybody that you've touched, there's a role or two that, you know, just kind of really resonates with us. Well, folks out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and it's an honor to have with us today Mr. Antonio Fargas, who is just an extraordinary career. We really don't have to tell you. Just name a few roles or a few movies or a few TV shows, and, of course, you know, the laughter begins or the joy starts. I also have to say, you know, we're going to get into quite a few things, but I also love the role that you did, couple roles. Me personally first, I have to, you know, and then I'll tell you what some of the fans of the Hair Radio Show mentioned. But I also love the role that you did on the Everybody Hates Chris show. I love that. I remember you were the store owner there where Chris worked.
Yeah. I mean, the tribute that that not only Chris Rock gave me, but people like Martin Lawrence and Will Smith also had me make appearances on their TV shows because they know whose shoulders they stand on, and they were very appreciative of what I did to help them, you know, get to where they were going, and so that's what made that special, and to, you know, to now be playing grandfathers and fatherly types that have gone through a full circle, you know, and also one of the things that was special for me in my journey was playing Angie's father on All My Children.
I was just about to mention that, yes.
I mean, there were different milestones, and then also with Pam Grier and Foxy Brown. All these characters, you know, just sometimes people ask me, well, what character do you really love the best? And it's very hard for me to do that because all these characters are like my children. They're all my children, and I can't pick one above the other. Each one is a special place in my heart. And, you know, so it's good.
Well, speaking of All My Children, that's a perfect segue. As you were just talking about, now I really like the character you played, Angie's dad, on All My Children. And what was that like?
Debbie Morgan.
Debbie Morgan and your wife. Now, do you remember the person who played your wife on there?
Yeah.
The actress. She was. That's right. My goodness. Now that was a fantastic part for you. It was great for us to watch, but how was it actually on the show?
Well,
and you got
a chance to interact with
everybody.
I learned a lot, you know, watching soap opera actors up close, watching the discipline that it took for them to be good on a consistent basis, and to realize
like
that I had a lot to learn, and I was really appreciated the time that I spent because, I mean, not everybody, you know, who does soaps can probably walk into, you know, the Broadway stage or change disciplines. But the discipline of doing that, of taking a, you know, you get a script and then, you know, you rehearse it in the morning and then you block it in the morning and then you do it live on, you know, on camera, you know, at the, you know, in the afternoon, that was, you know, very, very special. And then also playing with Darnell Williams and Debbie Morgan.
Exactly.
That was at the time of the height of, it was one of the heaviest and best watched storyline times with Angie and Jenny and
right. It was unusual because it had two leading African Americans in such a entangled love story. You just didn't see it at that time. You barely see it now.
I was a part of keeping that, you know, in that supportive area, being part of that nucleus of that. So it was just another milestone, another honor, you know, that humbling that to be able to be a part of that scenario on All My Children at that particular time. Just after I'd done Starsky and Hutch, and I decided to move back east to raise my children, and when I got there, I was cast as Les Baxter in All My Children, and I did that for 2 years, off and on, until they decided to kill my character off, which was okay too.
Is that what happened? I never. Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't see doing it for too long because I just had, you know, a hunger to keep doing different things and trying different things and all that.
Wow. Now, so let's talk about the industry for just a moment as well. In terms of then and now, it seems like we're just talking, you know, kind of alluding to the way some of the things were in terms of not having so many African-American characters across the TV, across the TV sets. But when we look at television now, we see a lot of channels, but not necessarily a lot of folks of color. How do you feel about that? Or is that how, you know, tell us how, you know, what's
well,
your
I think,
take on
it? I think we've seen more than, I just think that we've gotten a little bit, not jazzed or used to it, but as, as an African-American artist, I mean, I saw that when I started, there were very few roles for men, and certainly very, very less roles for women. And as a success, and then the more channels and the more opportunities that became available, but not only was it more opportunities for African Americans, but there was a slot in a TV show. If they were going ethnic, it was filled by an African American, either male or female. But as progress happened, now you have to share that with the Asian, you have to share it with Hispanic, and you have to share it now with, you know, with, when I say Asian, it's a many variety. I mean, you have Chinese, and you have Korean, and you have, and now also India, folks from
right.
India. But it's, so the pie has been divided up. That ethnic slot has been divided up, which also keeps us in a small minority, particularly because the Hispanic one is really, really taking strength because of the buying power of the Hispanic community, and you know, networks and channels also cater to what they feel people want to see. So it's
right.
difficult to say we've made a lot of progress, but there's still a lot more to be done, and people have to realize that we're not just going to be given something. We have to be good at it. You have to study. You have to have a respect for the craft and all of that in order to compete, in order to say if you do get an opportunity that you do go and knock it out of the park. I mean, there was a time when the best money makers in the business, you know, were Michael Jackson and, you know, Bill Cosby and almost every discipline, and goes across the sports entertainment as well. We've always had to excel and achieve, even go even further Now you have Samuel Jackson, you have you know, Denzel Washington, you have a myriad of people that that we can say, you know, can represent us. And you know, have Will Smith. We have these folks, and still there's room for, you know, for African American sisters to continually create opportunities where you're not just one and done. You know, how do you get to the next job? You know, we've been more lucky with the males, with African American men, but to have African American consistency. To know that, you know, you can inspire a young lady to say, you know what, this is something I want to do. It was very hard for me to tell people that, you know, this is something that, or young men, that this is something that you should do, because it was so tough. It's so tough because you never know. Like Andy Warhol said, you might only have 15 minutes of fame. So you might get one hit record and not make it again. You might win American Idol and not meet to get that contract and go on. You might get, you know, Academy Award nomination, and then how do you, you know, what's the next script you're gonna do? You're only as good as your last job sometimes. So it's a very, you really have to want this. I think if somebody really, I'm talking to young people out there, if you really want this, hopefully you don't want it to become a star. Because you'll be most likely disappointed. Someone's saying, only way I'm going to play the lottery is if I win it. Well, you know, that's more than likely not going to happen. But you have to get the joy in being in the game. You know, the joy is about the trying. It's about the journey, not the destination. So I say enjoy the ride and you know, and put your, you know, do the footwork and leave the rest up to God, you know, and you see and accept what happens. But if you do the best you can, that's all you can ask.
Well, that is the best advice. And again, folks, if you've just joined us out there, we are just talking with the legendary actor, Mr. Antonio Fargas, and we're thrilled to welcome him to the Hair Radio Show. Again, welcome, Antonio.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I want to talk about your current project. Now, tell me a little bit about this. I did a little bit of research, but tell me about it. Now, it's called the New Jump Blues at West Side Jazz Fest.
The New Jump Blues. We played at the West Side Jazz Fest. We also played at the Playboy Jazz Festival this last June, and we're looking to we're developing. We're a new act. You know, I've always wanted music in my life. I'm not a lyrical singer, so musicals were sort of off the table for me. But I found that I found a voice, and my partner, who you know, helped me help create the new Jump Blues, found a voice in a way that we could satisfy our musical hunger. And as well as working with two wonderful singers, Ariel Watkins and Adrian Battle. And if you check out YouTube or Amazon, we have an album called The New Jump Blues. There's thenewjumpblues.com, as well as you can go on YouTube and see some of the videos of the performances that we've done. And I'm excited about the excitement that we create when we're on stage, because we look at each song as a play in itself, and then we string together a set that's dynamic, that has versatility, has fun, and has a slamming band that backs us up, the New Jump Blues Band, at some accomplished, very, very accomplished musicians who work all the time in Los Angeles. Who are our group, and we're just looking forward to expressing ourselves and expressing the joy that we feel when we're on stage. And again, we have an album that's available on iTunes, and it's called The New Jump Blues. And we're just excited about you know, being my character in The New Jump Blues is called Daddy Fargas.
Daddy Fargas,
and I'm sort of like some folks probably wouldn't know a singer named Louis Prima, It was Louis Prima and Keeley Smith. It was a jazzy new jump blues guy, and there was a guy named Louis Jordan, and then, but more contemporary people will understand that my character is a little bit like Ike Turner in the background, and then, or like Flavor Flav, who's up front, who's just having fun. I don't carry the lyrical content of the band, but I do background vocals. I do a couple of leads on some songs, but the main thing is that Daddy Fargus is the driving force behind the new jump blues and makes it happen, and my two wonderful singers deliver that like no other.
Now, how did this project, developing or working in the music aspect differ from all of the film and television work that you've done in the past?
Well, really, there's no difference. You know, I always said that I love singers because each song that someone sings is like doing a play in itself, because you're telling a story. And so I think acting lends itself to storytelling, whether it's lyrically with musical notes or just words. There's a rhythm that goes with it. So that's why I'm more of a poet, almost say in a sense the early rap was built on what we do. It's just a matter of talking with style and with
that flair.
With flavor and flair. And so it just was the right timing for me. I mean, after 30, 40, 50-something years to find a way that I could express myself and be on the stage and be looking out at plays at venues like the Hollywood Bowl and Playboy Jazz Festival and the dates that we've had already, and just to see people, you know, because music always been a part of my life. I mean, it's a part of every character that I play. There's a character, you know, I don't care if it's Fly Guy or Les Baxter or Lindy and Car Wash. There's a music that goes around. I have my own score that goes on in my head when I play these characters. It's also a color. Each character has a color. It has a music. It has a spiritual spine. All of those things combined is what's inside of every character. So, you know, playing the role of Daddy Fargus in the New Jump Blues has been, I'll just say it's a whole lot of fun.
Oh, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. And you have some great folks like you were just naming, Adrian Battle and Ariel Watkins. You mentioned those names earlier. So those are folks who are also in this wonderful, wonderful show. We can tell everybody, you said to go to the New Jump Blues. Was it thenewjumpblues.com to read about it and find out some other performances and so forth?
Yeah, we're also on Facebook with New Jump Blues, again, and thenewjumpblues.com. And then we also, again, the album can be heard on iTunes. And I guess that's also available through Amazon as well. But we're out there. We're out there. I'm proud of it and getting ready to create new music. It's another music project that the New Jump Blues is going to be involved in. It's a little bit too soon to talk about, but as soon as that gets...
Will you let us know?
I certainly will.
Okay. Now, I have to ask you, what else, what are you planning to do next, like in a way of TV and film? Are you returning to the...
Right now, I'm currently... Well, you know, I had a lot of fun on what's the name of that new show with I forget that. But I mean, I've been doing guest appearances on TV shows and over the years, and I'm currently shooting a film called Beyond Skyline. It's a sci-fi movie. We shot some in Indonesia, and then we'll be completing our shooting in Los Angeles in February, and it'll probably take about a year before it hits the screens, because sometimes that's what it takes to get the film
process
and getting it done and getting it marketed and all of that. So look for Beyond Skyline in a year. And then I'm also teaching and teaching young people in the summertime. I work here in Las Vegas, my new hometown, and I work as a mentor and acting instructor and artistic director of the West Las Vegas Arts Center, and that's very rewarding. And also, there's so many singers here in Las Vegas that I'm also interested in. There's a project I'm working on about the life of Carmen McRae, which is a whole other side thing, and I'm more of directing that project and mentoring that project along with a fantastic singer who's the daughter of Carmen McRae. I won't say anything more about that. Yes.
All right. Well, we've definitely got to hear more about that. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, this sounds just fantastic, and we're just excited to, like I said, to have you part of what we're doing here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, and just to just support you in every which way we can. We're going to have folks to definitely look you up about the new Jump Blues and look out for some of your upcoming projects. And Antonio, just any advice that you could kind of like pass along. You mentioned about mentoring. What's advice that you share with them that you could share with us this morning that you tell these folks out there in terms of, you know, starting or embarking their career in show business?
Well, I think my main thing is to take chances. And I remember when, you know, when there wasn't anybody. There are some people, I can't say I didn't have any help or anything like that, but again, it's just being aware of the shoulders that you stand on and realizing, you know, that it's important for you in your work to do the same kinds of things of you know, of reaching out and help someone. Reach one, teach one. That's my.
I like that.
And that was given to me by some people that I respect, and because there's nothing really new. I mean, I'm a creation of everything that I've been given, and so and when I give back, I try to. That's the symbol that I would like to leave people with, and to do this and to love life. You know, to love what you have. Love what you have, and you know, and don't be afraid to dream, but you have to do the work. You know, You have to do the work. It's a process. Life is a process, and to pay homage to the Creator who gave you the gift and the will, and to dream. So, that's it.
Well, on that note, I think you said it all. Antonio Fargas, I want to thank you again for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we just want you to have continued success and keep bringing us those iconic characters. We love them. And we wish you all the best. Okay? Thank you again.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
It's Smooth Black Ink, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. He's a superstar hairstylist with decades of experience. He's a hair industry icon with the Midas touch for styling, cutting, and all aspects of hair care. He's also a prominent educator who can electrify your workshop attendees at your hair events. Look out for Smooth Black Hair Care, products, and the amazing Troy Ballard across social media at Hair Radio.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
Good morning, everybody. It's Carrie Hines. It's Tuesday morning, March 30th of 2021. It's our broadcast number 547. And real happy to welcome you guys this morning. We actually have with us on the line two great folks who, of course, help us to keep things moving forward. Each day, we have Harlem Will Power, of course, from Manhattan here in New York City. And also, Miss Terry. Now, Miss Terry comes to us, hairstylist from Georgia. And I guess I should say it correctly. Someone said, Carrie, please say Georgia, not Joja. Good morning, guys. Welcome to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Happy Tuesday.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to the Hair Radio Show audience. Good morning.
All right. Thank you, Harlem Will. Okay. Thank you, Miss Terry. Well, listen, if you're just tuning in, I was so excited because we kicked off with great new music, of course, the one and only Beyonce and her hit from several years ago, which is Gold Freedom, which I love that song. And also her father, Mr. Matthew Knowles, who was right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show's broadcast. It was a great interview, and we want you to play it back. So if you did miss it, you can look for the playback on demand and take a listen. I think you might be surprised. And so it's Tuesday morning for you guys. Now, we aired a special broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show yesterday on Monday, and it was quite exciting, I want to say. It's really great. Every so often we'll do live shows on Monday, but technically we usually give you one of our recent broadcasts. We'll re-air that or replay it or direct you somehow to something that's already done, and then we just come in live on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday shows. But from time to time, we'll see. I think we'll let it, what are your thoughts, guys? Well, any
what,
thoughts
on the,
that? Yeah. On live
on
shows Monday, waking up early.
Monday shows. Yeah, that's gonna be interesting because we've never done the Monday shows before. We usually do it Tuesday through Friday, but Monday is gonna be really interesting. We're gonna be getting up. You're gonna hear our Monday voices, hear our Monday morning voices, so we all feel the same. let it do what it do, you know.
Yes, I think so, too. Ms. Terry, what about you?
I think Monday's going to be an awesome day. Monday, fun day.
Lies!
I think Monday is going to be great. Lies!
Lies.
Lies. We're going to do it Monday.
And what I tell everybody is that Mondays really have become more meaningful. And I really mean that because what happens on Monday morning, you kind of dread it's the beginning of the work week. So we'll do more live Mondays here and there, but definitely we'll have something. Either it'll be live or it'll be new, and we'll share with all of our amazing fans from all over the world. Speaking of which, I wanted to shout out our wonderful folks over in Nigeria, in Porthacourt, Nigeria, who shouted out to us over the weekend, and it was just so warm. They listened to our Monday show and said how they enjoyed it in a great way, and they always send messages and so forth. And I have to say, not just Nigeria, but the folks over in Ghana, Australia, Italy, Canada, the UK, we're real excited. And, of course, here in the USA, across America, we want to say how proud and how happy we are to have folks who are tuning in, and we strive to continue to bring you compelling content each day. That's what our goal is.
So if you have certain things that you want to hear, and we're talking to the fans out there, maybe there are things that you want to hear. You can always contact us on social media. You can tweet us on Twitter, at Hair Radio, which is spelled the at sign, of course, our handle, the at sign, H-A-I Radio. Very simple on Twitter. Of course, on Facebook, we are widely known, and the Hair Radio Morning Show is our business page, and my personal page, Kerry Hines. Now, what I love about all of this, over the weekend, I think I had a boring moment, and I asked Google, you know how you talk on the phone, and you ask Google, and I'm like, what is the Hair Radio Morning Show? I asked Google. I didn't know she had an answer.
Wow.
Sherry
knew
the answer? That's
kind of nice. Yeah. And not only that, I asked who was Kerry Hines of Hair Radio. Knew the answer to that, too.
I'm going to have to ask her some questions when I get a break.
Yes. Well, Google, I was very impressed. That just tells me we're doing the work. We're doing the work. We're worldwide broadcast.
That's right. Apple is recognizing us.
Okay, so folks, let's get it on together. All right, from newspapers and magazines to radio and broadcasting to guests from television to reality TV to music to theater, the Hair Radio Morning Show continues to break those kinds of records. Plus, we have our own live events to accompany the radio show. There's only one Hair Radio.
Only one, y'all.
Where we are.
Only one.
There's
in Brooklyn.
Only one. And only one, period. There's only
That's
one.
Amazing.
Ain't that unique?
That's
unique.
It's exactly.
Very unique. Very unique.
And I'm very grateful for that. So listen, coming up, I do want to say on today's show, we do have a little bit more to get to. So this morning is really all about kind of, you know, putting ourselves out there. I do want to get a little bit of Cosmic Carlos. I promise Cosmic Carlos. Folks have been asking about Cosmic Carlos.
Carlos.
But we're working a little bit more. We want to kind of fine-tune it for you guys out there. But I will give you a little bit of a taste of Cosmic Carlos. And, you know, I'd love to – we'll talk about it. So I'll keep your mics on. And here's a little bit just to kind of introduce you to this gentleman. I think I don't know. I'll get your feedback on what you guys think out there, and we'll see how it goes from there. But, you know, I think this is really going to be really quite interesting where we are. So let me see if I can kind of load it on from there.
You're going to be talking about Leos. All Leos.
You think so? Yeah, well, we've got two to one, right? We've got 2-1. I'll tell you what. Let's yes, exactly. Well, we're going to get the Cosmic Carlos piece on. I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick moment for a music break, and when we come back, we should have that all ready, set to go right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So stay with us. We've got a lot of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. We'll play a classic song. Here we go.
If I could change the way I live my life today, I wouldn't change a single thing. 'Cause if I change my world into another place, honey, don't you worry, there's nothing to
This is Cosmic Carlos with your weekly horoscope, starting with Capricorn. Yes, you're ambitious, but maybe not in the direction that you thought. As the full moon lights up your change-making chart, it can bring up a sudden switch in goals. This can include shifts in your romantic life, and you will relish every moment of this mystery tour. Now on to Aquarius. You're on fire, Aquarius. Mars enters your sign on Monday, giving you extra enthusiasm, sex appeal, resilience, and the strength to make your dreams come true. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want. And now, Pisces. Let it go, Pisces. Mars enters your Aquarius ruled completion zone, helping you take initiative towards setting yourself free from bad habits. All right.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines. It is Tuesday morning. It's March 30th. of 2021. It's great to have you guys with us. Bringing back to the line two folks who really help us each morning to kind of really move the show forward. I'm really, really pleased to say I have them with us right now, of course. We've got Harlem Will Power, who has his own radio show and is a talk show host in his own right. And, of course, Miss Terry, who comes to us as a hairstylist out in Georgia, the Atlanta area, outside of that. Good morning, guys, and welcome again to the broadcast. Michelle.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
Awesome. Good morning. Welcome, guys.
Yes,
welcome.
Yes. Awesome. Well, you had what? The premiere of at least Cosmic Carlos. You had a little bit of a taste. We're working out the kinks on Cosmic Carlos, and I want to get your feedback. Miss Terry, you're up.
I was listening and taking notes with Cosmic Carlos because, like I said before, I'm a Leo, and so I don't know anything about a whole bunch of signs except my own. So I'm looking forward to Cosmic Carlos because I need to learn a little bit more about the different signs around me. So, Cosmic Carlos, bring it on.
Bring it on, right? Cosmic Carlos. Well said, Miss Terry. And I agree. Being a fellow Leo, I agree. Harlem Will, take it away.
Well, I kind of have to agree with these two Leos in here, but that's a good thing because we're both fire signs. I think that Cosmic Carlos is going to be doing a bang up job. He's going to get real popular on this show pretty fast because everybody's going to be tuning in to hear their horoscopes. They want to hear their futures. They want to hear, is my March sun interfering with my Aquarius moon and all that other stuff? And it's going to be
exactly.
Real appealing. I think the British accent definitely is going to add an appeal to the zodiac reading, so everybody's going to be really paying attention to that. Like, oh, did you hear him? Yeah, he said my Leo is going crazy in Pisces, like whatever that means. So we're going to
exactly.
be hearing a whole bunch of that.
Exactly. I think it's going to be very interesting. I really do. I think all of this is just a great shot in the arm for us. Well, listen, thank you guys for that. And we're going to work on Cosmic Carlos. We're going to try to get Cosmic in to the early part of the week, either Monday or Tuesday shows, or Tuesday particularly, but we'll do it Monday and Tuesday, and work on some specials and so forth, and weekends and all that other wonderful good stuff, and really, like you guys said, kind of really look closely at, I think Ms. Terry said, all the, you know, the signs in general, and kind of just, you know, giving us some bright spot each week. Yeah, I think that's how we can work it all in, so I'm real happy about that, and folks are interested, so that's a really good thing. Hey, have you guys been watching the news? A little bit?
Oh, yeah, yes,
a
I have.
Bit.
Yes,
I have.
Well, there has been so much going on in recent days. You know, just there's the crisis at the border that we're going to get into at some point in the next couple of days. The attacks, it seems, on the Asian community, it's on the rise, according to the way that we're getting the news these days, you know, the way that the news cycle. And then, of course, the big trial with the police officer who killed George Floyd. So lots of things. We're going to get into some of these things where we are able to look back and share our feedback and commentary. Maybe we can do a little bit of that. I say today and tomorrow. We can kind of maybe in the next hour we'll touch on some of these hot topics, and they are hot.
Hot.
I also,
hot.
Yes. Hot, there you go. I also wanted to mention about the, you know, we still haven't really officially addressed the talk show, the talk with Mrs.
Yeah.
O now being terminated. Well, we're not saying terminated. She's not coming back to the show. We don't know all the real things. But my whole thing is that all of this sprang from an interview. I mean, it's just, you kind of gag from it because you can't possibly, how could all of this be fallout from an interview? This is not like, you know, this is an interview, the most innocuous
right.
thing that you can think
right.
On the planet. Yet, it created all of this. But, Will, is this... Harlan, do you think this is because there were so many things done undercover that things are just now being being turned upside down? Or, like, how are the little tiny things that... I don't know. Maybe are we making mountains out of molehills here? What are your thoughts?
No, not at all. I wouldn't say making a mountain out of molehills. If anything, Miss O and Piers Morgan and others are making mountains out of molehills because they make it personal. And that's what we tend to see with a lot of people who react to the same thing, who react to the same topic, to the same question. They make it personal, so they start to show their own bias towards the topic, and then we all get to see, oh, that was that bone in the closet that you didn't want to get out.
I think you just really summed it up pretty well. I do. I think it was summed up pretty well, because I think, Miss Terry, don't you think, because that sounds that sounds exactly like what the problem is. I think you hit it on the head. They've internalized it. It wasn't meant to be internalized. These are just general
not
comments.
At all.
It wasn't, what it might have revealed is that they were harboring some things that maybe they were not even conscious of. Maybe they thought they were, you know, just, you know, happy-go-lucky, you know, I've got a black friend too type thing. And then here it kind of, you know, pulled the Band-Aid off of what was really, you know, bubbling below. And,
right.
you know.
Oh, yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
Right? But is there a place for education? Is it possible we can give Mrs. O the benefit when she said, educate me, educate me, tell me, Cheryl. So that was my reenactment.
You sound
how
just
did
like
I do?
You sound just like her. You sound just
I
like
sound
her.
Just like... Oh, thank you, Miss Terry. I rehearsed that. You don't
good
know
impression.
How long I've been rehearsing for that moment. But thank you so much.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
You can play. You can play her in a CGI role.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah,
thank
that was that was
much.
A good one. That was a good one.
Thank you. But
look,
is it
I also
true?
I also want to say no. Yeah, I want to say no. We don't have to. As you get, it's not. I'm think it's over as far as us having to always educate people on what they're doing, on what, you know, on what this topic of racism, what it means, because we've discussed it for so long. I don't know where people were in 2020. I know we were quarantined, but, I mean, we were all paying attention to our phones and TV, and we saw this thing with George Floyd, Jacob Blake, Breonna Taylor, the list goes on.
A long list.
Especially the George Floyd. If you can look up the best deal for toilet paper on Amazon, you can research race relations and everything that goes into these discussions that's been happening, that black folks on the shows like The Talk, on shows like The Real and other places where black people occupy spaces. You can do your own research and find out things that you did not know and educate yourselves, because we keep telling you the same thing over and over again, and it doesn't seem to keep getting through. So I think it's about time that a lot of people start educating themselves on it or run the risk of being embarrassed.
Wow. Well, I would like to chime in.
She's going to give a little comp. I'd like to chime in. Well, of course. Go right ahead. Chime away, Miss Terry. Chime away.
I think what people don't realize is, from what I saw with Piers Morgan and also Sharon Osbourne, I saw a moment where the both of them were made uncomfortable. And I feel like what they do not realize is that people of color, we're uncomfortable all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they were made uncomfortable in just a moment. And that has upset them so bad that they were made uncomfortable. But
true.
What they don't realize is that people of color, our lives are uncomfortable. When we walk into the supermarket, we don't know how we're going to be treated. When we go to certain places, we don't know how we're going to be responded to just because of the color of our skin. And so I saw these two people become uncomfortable in just a moment. And so, like, their lives seem like it's been turned upside down because they were made uncomfortable for a couple minutes on television. But what they don't realize is that uncomfortable is what we're made to be every day.
You know, I love what you both have
said.
You did a great job. And I want to tell you, I can relate to this, and I'll tell you how. You know, running Hair Radio, we do a promotions house here. Some of you I've shared part of this story with before, but for sharp-eared listeners and loyal fans, you'll recognize this. But it was really about, you know, I put out the flyers, and you guys have seen my flyers. If you look back to our Atlantic City show, we do the Big Hair Nation Expo events in Atlantic City. We have the Road to Healthy Hair coming up in August. I got to give a plug to that. But what we've got, you know, the issue that we're talking about, I had flyers that generally feature three women of color, if you will. And those three women represent all kinds of shades and all kinds of hairstyles. And we use these three women to promote our Carapi brand of hair conditioner and hair shampoo and all that wonderful good stuff, as well as our flyers that are promoting our Hair Nation Expo events. You can Google that as well, Hair Nation Expo events and Hair Nation Expo, and it'll pop up the flyers. I remember I had a Caucasian lady who was working with us here on Hair Radio, and I remember her job was to contact, different salons and all of that. You guys know it's no secret. We promote to hair salons and barbershops. So when she was a Caucasian woman, as I explained, she would call other Caucasian or other shops in general. And I guess the conversation was starting to come out, like they would kind of hint around about, is it a black event or is it a black this, you know. So buzzwords were used. Now, I am the owner of the company, so our phone calls and things like that are recorded for quality assurance, and we mean it. I'm a QA master, if you will. So they had no idea that I'm going back and QAing the calls, and I'm hearing all of this. But my favorite part was after one of the calls, she had been working several days, and she comes back and says, well, on the flyer, can we, she delicately asked, because she's aware that I'm a man of color, so she delicately asked if we could insert or put a Caucasian person on the flyer. Now, I understand she's Caucasian, and she, when she's talking to other Caucasians or whatever, maybe that might make it easier. And perhaps, you know, there is an argument if that's what you're trying to do is reach this and that. I mean, there are all kinds of layers to this that we can get into. But my whole point to this is my response to her, and of course, you know, I really spoke from the heart because I told her, I said, listen, and it reminds me of what you said, Will, Harlem Will, because you just said, you know, that about, or was Miss Terry, you guys are talking about the folks being uncomfortable. And for just a few seconds, she was uncomfortable. Well, in my case, you know, it's about being, this woman was uncomfortable. She was asking if I could put a white person on the flyer instead of three black women, just to kind of cut through the chase. And I told her, I said, blankety blank, I won't mention names, but I said, blankety blank, I said, every day of my life, every day, I wake up to prepare, I turn the television on, I am bombarded by images of white people, mornings, afternoons, evenings, every day, all day, for every week of every month of every year, for my entire life. It's not thought of how this might affect people of color's children, long-term effects, nothing. No one bats an eye. And this woman who was here working in my company could not bear to look at a flyer for 3 seconds or so without thinking that there was something wrong with the flyer of a black company. I'm blown away. It's like
it never fails.
It never fails because this is where folks are so not used to, you're so used to and accustomed to having everything your way, that it doesn't even occur to you for a moment. You don't even put yourself in anybody's shoes for a moment. And to think I'm a black-owned company, and you think I'm going to be sitting up here thinking about that. Well, I don't pretend that, you know, for me, I produce a show. It's not a perhaps black radio show. But I produce a show for everybody. It is inspired by people of color, for everybody. Now, if that fits in with your belief system and this is great for you, wonderful. We love you. You're special. If not, oh well. So, needless to say, that person is no longer working here. Now, on the other side of it, I understand what she was trying to say. My operation, Miranda, here is not to, you know, I'm not here trying to appease everybody in the middle of America, perhaps. We love you. But my job is not here to try to, you know, that I'm trying to appeal to, to the overall population, perhaps, Gen Pop. We are segment promoters. We're talking about basically hair for our community and through our eyes. And the news and everything that we do on the show is inspired by people of color. Now, we welcome everybody. We love all of our fans. I don't care if you're white, blue, green, or purple. We love you. But this is the kind of things that we're talking about. It's honesty. We can't pretend. We can't pretend. That's the problem in America. We're pretending. Everybody's pretending. That's got to end.
I got a quick question for both Terry and Kerry, especially Kerry, and because you faced this before with the company. Do you think with the lack of education or the miseducation in the country. This is simply a byproduct of that miseducation in America.
Ms. Perry, why don't you go first, and then I'll weigh in.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a miseducation. I just feel like sometimes when something is not a concern to you, mm-hmm. you push it to the back burner. You turn your back on it. When my life is good, if I have a house with a pool, elevators, whatever, just wonderful house, I'm not necessarily concerned about what's happening in your house down the street without the pool, without the... So I think sometimes we don't even consider what other people may be dealing with. And just like Carrie said, I mean, okay, the TV that I have in my room, which is unheard of, in these times, I don't have any cable or anything on it. I have an antenna. I have an antenna. And so I pick up about maybe 12 good channels with the antenna, which is actually an upgrade from back in the day. You would pick up maybe 5. But I do notice still when I turn on my TV in the morning or whenever I turn on this TV, I have a hard time finding someone on there that looks like myself. And I notice it every time I turn it on. But because that's not something that the people in the big house have to worry about, it's not a big deal. So I think just some things are just pushed to the back because it's not my problem. And as long as we're quiet, everything's comfortable. But when a group of people come out and say Black Lives Matter, then that's, again, the racism of this country. A bandage gets pulled off once or twice a year. We say Black Lives Matter. It infuriates some people. It makes people mad because they want to know, well, why don't they just go back home and hush, be quiet, and then the rest of the year everything will be good, and then that racist bandage gets pulled off again once or twice a year, and we say Black Lives Matter, and, you know, some people say, okay. I'm willing to learn. You do have some people who are willing to learn. But like you said, it's not necessarily our responsibility to have to teach you. Pick up a book. If you come to me, if you walked up to me and asked me a question, if you had a legitimate question about race and racism, if you wanted to learn something, I would definitely sit you down and maybe go through some things with you. I don't have a problem, you know, teaching you or trying to help you know how I feel as a person. But it's definitely it's still a big problem. I think what Carrie was saying earlier in the broadcast, it's amazing that we're still at place after all these years. But there's still there's a lot of work to be done. A lot of work to be done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I posed it as an education question. Go ahead, Carrie. What your opinion on it? Education, you think it's a miseducation with people's beliefs?
Yes.
What else? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. My thing is, and I totally agree with you, Ms. Terry, as well, the thing on there's several different layers here going on as far as I'm concerned, but everything can be kind of extracted, if you will, from the underlying theme, and that really is education or lack thereof. there were some mean mm-hmm. things out, you know, how they have all these postings on Facebook, and one of them kind of said something to the effect of, for every time that you educate a child, you kill a conspiracy theory in that child, or, you know, in other words, what they were trying to say is that through education, you can dismiss all these extremist, kind of notions that are unfounded or founded in unrealistic thoughts and from people who have agendas and all this. Your mind does not fall victim to lunacy so easily. And that is uniquely what education does. And so in America, as far as your question will, in America, I believe we've fallen down. But this is things we've been warned. There were warnings in the 60s and stuff and earlier that by mm-hmm. America not mm-hmm. focusing on education, you're going to have a society of fools. And you can look mm-hmm. at even the insurrectionist folks. I looked at the TV news. To me, they look like fools running around with all kind of crazy stuff. But to them, this is their mindset. Because, you know, unfortunately, you were talking about a community that was disenfranchised because of lack of education, you know, lack of quality this, lack of quality that, and that kind of is the problem in America. But all of that stems from and fallout from a political system that needs to be overhauled. And that's mm-hmm. what keeps poor people poor and others not. And so if we're not going to get together and really make the changes in America, absolutely, every single person, I don't care if you call it socialism, I don't care what you call it. To me, it's common mm-hmm. sense. You educate the youth if you want to succeed. Who in the world ever thought about not educating people? I mean, what on God's earth is that? And then also, the lunacy about doing away with teaching them the time, how to tell time, and how to write in cursive. Are you crazy? Like, what kind of, where in the world these people come from?
Well,
and who in the world would vote these
cursive.
People? And my favorite, mm-hmm. the whole thing about blaming and putting the Second Amendment, and you're walking around with assault rifles. Are you crazy? Like, where do these people come from? And then we are stuck here mm-hmm. living in this country with these lunatics. We can't go mm-hmm. anywhere. Our ancestors were brought here based on our skin color. So we're walking targets. We've always been. So until things can change, nothing changes. And so that's my belief. So to answer your question, Will, lack of education, of course, and how do you deal with racism now, Ms. Terry? I think to close the economic disparity, that will diminish. I didn't say it will eradicate, but it will definitely
right.
diminish the impact of racism when there is more economic equality. But listen to this. There's an old saying. That's something like, by just treating people who are of color fairly, just fairly, that's all we're asking to be treated fairly, means to them they feel that they've lost the fight. Just by treating other people fairly, they feel they've lost. And so this is where we've got to really understand. And listen, if you're just joining us, this is a very real, a probably as real as conversation you're going to get on Morning Talk. And this is the Hair Radio Morning Show, but we're talking about community, in which we do talk hair, beauty, entertainment, information, and community. And we welcome everybody to this broadcast. We love everybody. But we are going to speak our truth. My other favorite thing of the day here in New York, and I don't know if you guys have been seeing, Will, you're here in our area, where they're talking about the marijuana, making that legal, of course, and it just, I'm all for all of that, but my thing with this is, for decades, these laws, you know, there's so many black families that were disrupted. I mean, obviously, just like every single black family in America was disrupted by being brought here, your ancestors being brought here, you know, our family, you know, lines were cut. And same thing, and certainly once you got here, they were still cut because they separate your family members. But my thing is, with looking at where we are and the folks who stand to benefit the most, and now it seems like, well, we're kind of looking at it, and we're going to look at kind of, you know, getting the people out of jail who we put in jail or in prison, you know, over these kind of marijuana laws and stopping people because the scent we smelled, you know, all of this unfairness. And now the community that stands to gain the most is trying to trump and make this totally legal and look to see how in the states where it's already legal, who's benefited the most. So to me, every single marijuana conviction should be overturned in the nation, period. And that doesn't even start to address how you've disrupted lives from folks whose records they couldn't even get a job. So I look at these things. It's awful.
That's
the end of my my little soapbox this morning. So, but I think we've got to be honest. I mean, my gosh, is that what you want us to not be honest? You know, we always want to be researched and be careful of what we say.
Yeah. Ms. Terry, go ahead, because you had to, you wanted to chime in when Carrie was, he was speaking. Go ahead, you had something to add.
Yeah, just going back to the insurrection on the Capitol, I just wanted to say our children needed to see that. Because I have a niece that is she's a millennial. And a lot of times when you talk to millennials and you talk to children of that age, a lot of times they'll tell you they've never seen any racism or they've never been a victim of racism. And it's really crazy. Huh? It's really crazy. Because a lot of times they're so busy looking down and texting, when you walked into the store, you didn't realize that the cashier never greeted you, but she greeted this Caucasian lady that came in before you did, but she didn't say anything to you because you were so busy texting, you didn't realize it. But I see it all the time.
Well, that's
so I feel like
point.
the insurrection and things like that were terrible. All the incidents surrounding that were terrible and leading up to that. But I feel like at some point our children need to see that they are not living in a perfect world and the racism and things that we talk about still exist.
Well, Will
then,
is in that generation
also,
somewhere, I think. Yes, go ahead.
When I speak, I don't speak about
everyone. Oh, no, I was calling. The reason
now,
I mentioned is that I wanted
people,
to
yeah,
get
definitely.
His opinion. No, I'm saying
oh, okay.
I wanted to get his opinion. So, but what's your second point?
I was also going to say I've been reading about these quote-unquote so-called reparations. And I was reading an article where this state was prepared to give out some reparations, but the crazy part about it is that they were going to tell you how to use the reparations. And the comments behind it were basically they were saying, you know, that you had to use this on a house, and you had to do this and do that with it. And the comments were, people were saying, well, that's not reparations, that's a housing program.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that sounds like.
So, yeah, so things, you know, I feel like, you know, with the reparations is what, you know, a lot of people have been requesting. But is that actually reparations if you're going to tell me what I have to do with it? Because that's what you started out doing in the first place. That's why you have to pay reparations, because you've been bossing everybody around and making everybody slaves and all this good stuff. So now you want to pay this out, but you're going to tell me what direction I have to use the money in.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very interesting as well.
I think it is very interesting. I appreciate both points of view on your points. I just want to go back a little bit on that, because I think the first part of what you said was very interesting. You know, let's see, where do we kind of go in from there? You know, there's a lot to be said for the millennials and not just the millennials, but particularly the Generation Z folks, even younger than the millennials.
Generation Z millennials.
Those are the ones who may be a little bit more guilty of that, but I'll tell you why, Ms. Terry. I have a theory. Now, this is my theory. This is Carrie's theory. I believe that you know, if you think back to your 20s and your younger years, you were still living in an ideological mindset where you think everything only because of your, you know, you haven't lived long. So you don't necessarily mm-hmm. have the baggage that someone of my years who's seen a lot. So, because I remember when I look back when I was like a teenager and a 20-year-old, I hadn't lived much, a very limited life experience. So I'm thinking everything is in a Pollyanna type thing. And I could, if you told me that, well, that's the truth, because you're so focused on, you know, hanging out with your friends. You know, when you're very young, your whole world are basically your friends at that point.
Right.
Okay, maybe even more so than your family. So everybody mm-hmm. is just like you. They're only looking at it, you know, through their little eyes at that time, and they've not been around long enough to, and you can't imagine that things are so unfair. You can't even imagine slowly from your 20s and mid-20s and then 30s, you start to say, hold it, what happened with so-and-so? Really?
Right.
Get out of here. Mm-hmm. How could that even be possible? That's so unfair. And we are always looking and waiting for fairness, and there's no such thing. We're just sitting around waiting. Well, that ain't fair. That ain't fair. It's never going to be fair here. You were brought here based on your people, based on the fact that you needed to be easily identified. That still remains to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we're
as long
seeing
as
it now
that is the
faster.
Case, nothing changes. And so, but to answer that, you know, so yes, I agree with you on the looking up, and if they look up, yeah, it's, you know, I think that's where the technology, unfortunately, and the kids, that's what say even the impact of watching TV, what it has on the kids. Well, just imagine these devices and all that stuff.
Well,
so, Floyd's
death went viral, so I would say this generation, the 2000s, especially the 2010s, is going to be very impactful on not just millennials, but Generation Z and definitely Generation Alpha, the younger generation after them that's coming up, because now we're seeing the resurgence of a lot of these microaggressions and sometimes like huge aggressions towards of racism happening. And we're starting to, it's not, Will Smith coined a phrase that started being shared all around the world. It's not that racism, you know, died down. It's not that it changed. It's not that it's happening more. It's being filmed. Now people can actually see it more often. And you've always heard the stories. I remember going to school and you learned about what took place back then. You've seen movies about it. But now we're getting it in real time. You're getting it instantly like a cell phone, like a text message. It's instantly boom, in your face, look at what's happening. And it's so shocked. This is the information age. So your mind is being flooded with so much information. And particularly with racism, when you see acts of racism happening, and they're so blatant. I mean, the protests, when you seen, I still remember the car in Atlanta with the two college students when they just broke into their cars and you've seen their reactions. Those are the kids that's in college and they're experiencing this. So it's happening faster. Teenagers, it's not that a lot of young people, it's millennials and Generation Z, it's not that we're oblivious of it. It's happening so fast, we can't keep up with it. For the older generation that says they can't keep up with it, we can't even keep up with this because it's happening at an alarming rate and we're going, wait a minute, we thought this was done as far as on this level in the 60s and now we're seeing a resurgence of it. It's still a shock. It's still shocking. Floyd just happened and we heard the stories. It gets even worse than Floyd, but it's just so shocking that we got to develop the backbone to confront it. And that's where this generation, this new era of America is really going to be tested. A lot of people who are in charge making these bad rules, they're from the 60s. A lot of them are in charge right now, didn't want to relinquish their positions of authority and power. So now we're seeing it now, and people are, especially young people, they're developing their backbone and going, okay, I got to say this, I got to post this, I got to do something, and the reaction is starting to happen now. It's just going to take an adjustment.
Wow. Well, good words, I've got to say. Very good words. I had to get some water there. You kind of shocked me into being thirsty there. Great words. Great words, guys.
That's what
well, I
have you.
To say. Yeah, I'm blown away. And this is really great talk for the Hair Radio Morning Show. And just to kind of, we'll take a little break, but I want to kind of, when we come back, I want to talk about what's coming up on Friday. It's celebration time, right?
Wow.
It's a celebration. Somebody celebrated 2000s or something.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go into all of that. We're going to really take some time and kind of get into that. I think we have a couple of announcements and things like that to get into. I'm going to have you guys stay with us. We'll be back.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story. And we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines.
I've got a very special guest on the line with us, Miss Alicia Marie Rivers of Jolie Magazine.
Hello, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm fine, Alicia. Welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to jump right on in. Let's tell the folks about Jolie Magazine.
Well, Jolie Magazine is a beauty and wellness magazine for women of color. We have as our editor-at-large, Vivica Fox, and what we basically cater to is women and encourage them to feel pretty and to live pretty, which is our tagline.
Okay. Now, how did this all come about? Well, first of all, I mean, there's so many questions I want to ask you, but how did the idea of Jolie Magazine really come about?
Well, Carrie, when I was 16, I've always had this dream of having my own magazine. And I've worked at different magazines throughout the years, and I said, you know what, there's no magazine out there that really targets us from a beauty perspective. So I said, one day I want to start my own magazine. So I got together with my partner, Rachel Breton, and we created Jolie.
Which is one of those magazines that, every single woman of color must have.
Yes, it is. Because it's not just about what cosmetics you should be using for a particular season, but it's also encouraging women to, like I said before, live pretty and be happy with who they are no matter what they look like in terms of complexion, size, but really just embrace their natural beauty.
Now, I want to talk about Miss Vivica A. Fox. How on earth did you get Vivica to take part in a project like this? I had never known her to be so closely tied to any kind of a publication. So how did all that come about?
Well, when Rachel and I were thinking about the magazine, I said to her that we need someone that people can easily relate to, kind of like, you know, a best girlfriend or someone that has a great sense of humor, and Vivica was at the top of the list. Contacted her publicist, had a meeting, presented Vivica with our whole idea as well as a comp of the magazine, and she loved it, said, listen, I'm on board with you guys.
Well, I have to tell you something. First of all, I'm just blown over, and I'm sure our listeners out there, the ones who've already picked up some of the copies, let's tell our listeners out there, Alicia, how often does the magazine come out, and how might they be able to get a copy of Jolie Magazine?
It's bi-monthly. It comes out every other month, and they can pick it up at Barnes & Noble, Kroger, 7-Eleven, Rite Aid, as well as independent, depending on where they are, independent gas stations, places like that, as well as B. Dalton.
Now, how about the website?
The website, JolieLivePretty.com.
Terrific. Now, I'm terrific to have you with us on the Hair Radio Show. For those of you, again, who've just logged in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line is Ms. Alicia Rivers of Jolie Magazine.
Thank you, Carrie.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, let's talk about some of your experience. I mean, of course, being the editor-in-chief, you have worked with some of the top magazines, I know, in the past. And it's really interesting when I kind of review your information, because I'm looking at someone who was kind of creating and trailblazing a role in terms of being a woman of color at magazines that were historically, you know, pretty much across the board, not necessarily, relating to one particular ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
So it was thrilling to see someone kind of like really trailblazing, you know, that type of role in with the magazines.
Thank you, Carrie. Well, I'm really proud of my achievements thus far. There was one magazine that I worked for called 101 Hairstyles, which was a non-ethnic magazine, and I was the first black woman to head that particular publication.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of myself for that. And previously to that, I was with a magazine called Black Elegance.
Right, BE, yes, of course.
And I was a beauty editor for maybe a few 5 years, I believe it was, and that was a great experience.
So you have really, paid your dues, but you've cut your teeth, as they say, you've cut your teeth very well.
I have. And like I said, I always said to myself, you know, we need something out there that's fun and not necessarily dictating what you should look like, but telling you, listen, embrace your beauty, have fun. You know, live your life through pleasure. Enjoy who you are and what you look like, and that's what Jolie is all about.
Well, terrifically said. Now, I love that. That I think there was a line that I thought was just terrifically stated on your site as well. Now, there's something I want to ask you about. I saw you, I believe, on the Montel Williams show.
Yes.
And I think you were also with Vivica Fox, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I was.
Now, tell us about that, and tell us, it seems like your foray, you're definitely getting more into television and some of the other aspects that are out there. Tell us about all of that and what was that experience like?
That's, oh my God, it was great. Montel is just fantastic. His producer, Antoinette, is fantastic as well. We partnered with him and did a makeover show for women. And it was just phenomenal, just to see the befores and afters and how gracious these women were. And Vivica was just great to fly in and participate in the show.
Yeah, it was just an outstanding, and it was a great surprise, too. It was really a terrific, well-done show.
Thank you.
So do you see yourself developing more in that area as well?
I do. I've started to get offers to do more television, just to make a guest appearance. And that's something that I've thought about, but I've been so busy just in terms of creating the magazine and mm-hmm. doing things here and there that television has always been in the back of my mind.
Well, you have got a great magazine out there, and it is on the stands, and it's, as you have mentioned, in all those wonderful locations. We just want to remind the folks, again, we want them to check out, we want you guys out there to check out the website,
www.jolielipretty.com, as well as you can pick up the magazine at Barnes & Noble, B. Dalton, Kroger, Safeway, Giant, Rite Aid, 7-Eleven, as well as on the website.
Absolutely. Now, is there anything that's coming up? Can you give us just a sneak peek at perhaps what's coming up in an upcoming issue or two?
Well, our next issue hits newsstands May 2nd, which is our fourth issue, our summer issue.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And Vivica is speaking to a very good friend of hers, and there's some juicy tidbits.
Are you going to drop one for our listeners today, or do we have to wait till the magazine comes out?
You have to wait, but I will say a huge celebrity makes a guest appearance.
Well, terrific. Now, when the magazine comes out, I'm going to hold you to this, and I want you to come back and tell us about that experience.
No, I will. I definitely will.
Well, again, I want to thank you so very much for being with us today. You are definitely doing some wonderful things, and we want you guys out there to pick up Jolie Magazine. Again, the website is www.jolielivepretty.com, and my special thanks to Alicia Rivers.
Thank you, and ladies, please always remember to live pretty. You only have one chance in this life to live the life that you want to lead. Don't waste another moment. Live pretty.
Perfectly said.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks for being here.
No problem.
Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Hey, man. How'd you get your beard so long? I've been trying to grow for, like, 3 years, but I still got all these patches. Tell me your secret. And he said... in your beard. Oh man, you got them patches in your beard. Oh man, I had them patches in my beard. Oh man, I had them patches in my beard.
Get the Caribbean rubber down quick. Get the Caribbean, just let it sit. Had patches in my beard for oh so long. All I had to do was rub Caribbean on. Now it's grown so long. Put some Caribbean, that therapy. Right here, put some Caribbean, that therapy. Yeah, here, put some Caribbean, that therapy. Right here, put some Caribbean, that therapy. Yeah, here.
Oh man, you got them patches in your beard. Oh man, you got them patches in your beard. Oh man, you got them patches in your beard. Oh man, I had them patches.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Tuesday morning. It's our show number 547. Today's date is March 30th of 2021.
I'm bringing back to the line a couple of folks here that have been helping us out this morning. It's my honor to welcome back the one and only, I was about to say, Harlem Will Power from, again, Harlem, from Manhattan here in New York City. Good morning. All right.
Good morning.
Harlem Will, yes, good morning to you, sir. All right. And also bringing to the line Ms. Terry out of Georgia. Ms. Terry, good morning out of the Atlanta area, we'll say. Good morning.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning.
All right.
All right. I didn't lose my Georgia peach. There you go.
There you go. All right. Well, did you guys hear that? That was the Carapi Beard song from our amazing kid.
Oh,
was
I loved it.
Oh, that was a treat. That's right. You didn't get a chance, I don't think, to hear it before. Well,
yeah.
It's on YouTube, by the way. So you can Google Carapi Beard Oil, Beard Song or whatever. It's out there on YouTube. Yeah, I'm happy to have the song. It's great songs. Everything is original here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. I think we're the only beard oil with the song.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I have to say,
I haven't
heard any commercials.
It's a good song.
Yeah,
thank you.
I ain't
heard
any commercials for beard oil, so yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I like
just
it.
Really kind. Thank you. I
like
appreciate
it.
That. Thumbs up, right? So, and if
yes,
you do like it, folks, go to YouTube, make a comment there, please, and share it with your friends. So I'm grateful for Carapi. People have been asking me when am I bringing back more Carapi products, and we will be rolling out a lot. The pandemic slowed us down, so we're on the way back, like most of you. We're rebounding back, and I'll be releasing a whole nother set of Carapi products. And again, just to kind of remind folks out there, Carapi brand, that's my signature line, and it was named after yours truly, of course, Carrie, K-E-R-R, and then we have the APY from therapy. And that's really what it was about, and it was created as a hair growth system to stimulate the scalp. So I'm very, very pleased in how we distribute our products. Well, we've got amazing distributors who sell Carapi products all over America, as well as from us directly. So I'm very, very, very proud of Carapi. And the shampoo conditioner, we fortify with caffeine, again, for scalp stimulation. So I'm real happy about that. And as far as, now, let me just say this officially. Our shampoo and conditioner are for men, both men and women. It's not just for guys, and it's not just for ladies. It's for everybody. And it really is quite unique. Now, our beard oil, we suggest that for men. But, hey, we're not going to judge. But the Carapi beard oil, it works real well. Okay? So on that note, there you go, folks. Okay, so we're putting it on out there. You're listening again to the Radio Morning Show, and we're just kind of, you know, it's an open discussion today, as we do from time to time here on the Radio Morning Show. Generally, we do an 8 o'clock spotlight. This is our spotlight today, and I'm real happy. These are some deep discussions. We've been kind of out putting it on out there. Couple things I wanted to mention. First, a little while ago, before the Carapi song, we kind of ran a piece with Alicia Rivers, who was the editor for Jolie magazine. Well, many folks have asked me, that is the party that I went to in which Wendy Williams was there, and Vivica Fox was her celebrity editor, I believe, at large at that time. And I think when you play the interview back, if you've missed it somehow, she talks about that. Alicia talks about it. And but we both worked as contributors to the same magazine, and we were all at the same launch party. So that was my one and only time being in the same room with Miss Williams. So I just thought you should know if you want to kind of tie things. We have so many memories with all of this that we do here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And I'm really, really pleased, you know. Even when I look back at some of the news events, you know, we are front and center I remember, you know, everybody from, like, I think on yesterday's show, we re-aired the recent interview with television's Lisa Bloom, the attorney who represents the Black Lives Matter protesters who were injured, allegedly, by the officers. So we were able to get that on. And then I turn on the TV, and who do I see but Lisa Bloom's mom, you know, Gloria Allred, who is representing many different, both of them are attorneys, let me just say that. So, and then I see Miss Allred on TV talking about the different cases that she's representing with different women. She usually stands up and does a lot of both of them, represent women and generally, and doing all kinds of things and standing up for those folks who don't have a voice. So I'm real excited for us at Hair Radio to be connected with so many folks. And then I turn to a different channel, and who do I see? I see the amazing Benjamin Crump, who is the attorney who helps all these families who are dealing with, you know, cases of police brutality, alleged cases of police brutality, what have you. So, you know, it's really quite interesting, and I'm grateful to have conversations with all of these folks. And I remember with Benjamin Crump, he's the attorney who first, you guys, he took national prominence, I guess, when he represented the family of Trayvon Martin. Remember the young 16-year-old who was walking with the Skittles and all of that? Real sad
case. Can't forget that guy.
You can't forget that one. And I remember, when we had him on the show, I had an opportunity to interview that family with the teenager. And you were right, Ms. Terry. I think it was you. Somebody told me it was in Georgia, and they were correct. For some reason, there were so many cases. I think I had another case in Florida. But that was really, that me a lot, and I don't think I'll ever forget that. But that attorney was just an amazing fella and really kind-hearted too. His name is Ben Crump. Here, take a listen. It's only a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and this is what he had to say on the day when I talked with him about that case. I'll leave your mics on. Take a listen, folks.
There is a federal investigation kind of going on, you know, and maybe we can ask the attorneys about that. Mr. Crump, would you be kind enough to kind of weigh in on that? Where is this investigation and what's going on now?
Well, the U.S. Attorney for the Middle District of Georgia announced that he would do a federal review into the tragic death of Kendra Johnson, which was a victory. However, we were dealt a minor setback when the judge ruled just this week that the coroner's inquest that we were requesting to determine the manner and cause of death into Kendrick Johnson, that he was going to stay the proceeding until the federal prosecutor had finished his investigation. That was troubling, very troubling to us, Gary, because we think the two are mutually exclusive of one another. And this family has been, for 300 days now, fighting, kicking, and pleading just to get the truth of what happened to their child. They have literally been on the street corner every day, 6 days a week, with signs up saying, please help us find out who killed.
That's really, that was the Kendrick Johnson family, just really, you know, and at the time, I had hosted a program called Saturdays at 6. It was a news magazine show that we were live on the air on weekends. So at some point, we'll be bringing back some of these amazing programs. But we had a chance to talk to just about everybody in some capacity. I mean, lots of folks have come through the doors here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, kind of leading me on to talk about what's coming up on Friday. And it's a very special broadcast. Miss Terry, have you heard about it?
Yes. Just to piggyback on what you were saying, I don't know. They've actually found some new evidence in the Kendrick Johnson case. And they said it's going to be reopened and reinvestigated.
Yes, thank you.
It
and that's kind of
in the last week. It
right,
just came
actually,
about that they.
Yes.
Yeah, they found the audio of basically mm-hmm. someone pretty much confessing to the killing. So they're reopening everything, and they're gonna do some more investigating on the case. And I was really happy to hear about that because, I mean, from day one, I was like, that does not sound right. Something
yeah,
else took place. So, yeah, I'm really glad that they're looking back into it and, you know, trying to find some answers for that family. And it's just amazing that those 8 years have flown by.
Yeah,
I
don't think when I had them on. Yeah, but when I had them on, I think it was like a year later. But I will say this. Yeah, I'm happy that, you know, and you know, the world, no one ever believed the story. I mean, it was ludicrous on a stick. So I'm glad as well. And most of these situations, almost all these cases, are really unbelievable because they're so egregious. Like, they're hard to believe. You couldn't make this stuff up.
They really are.
And so, and to tell somebody's grieving family the flimsiest of excuses that a child could have made up something more believable. You know how little kids, they lie, with you know, little tiny kids when they
right.
you catch them doing something. That's what it reminds me of. It's worse than that, you know, that he jumped in that thing himself and suffocated. I mean, just it's sheer lunacy. I'm not even going to repeat it. But my interview
right.
was the entire interview. I just played an excerpt. But Ben Crump and the entire Johnson family, they're on with me, the parents, are on with me. It's a YouTube, you can go on YouTube and search for it, or you can go to my Spotify listing. So The Best of Carrie Hines on Spotify, which is our Spotify podcasts, which are all on demand. So that's a little separate from the radio show. I have to always clarify. We have a radio show that's live for 3 hours each morning that you guys are tuned in right now. And separately, we have podcasts that are available on demand. So these are individual interviews generally that are available on platforms like Spotify, which is largely a music platform. But when you're there, you can search for The Best of Carrie Hines. And there will pop up a long list of many of my podcasts in which we – and I love the podcast idea, too. I'll tell you why. Because you can kind of zoom in, and it allows me to explore a little bit deeper in some subjects. And I really like that. I love the podcasting notion and all of that. Harlan, will you host a podcast? So what are your thoughts out there? We do the podcasting and the lab radio. What's your thoughts? My fellow
I love podcasting.
Radio.
Right. I love the podcast. I love the new communication devices that we're able to utilize because communication, it's key. If one thing that if there's anything else that you would grab from 2020 and hell, even 2021, is that communication is always going to advance and it's always needed. And so we want to be able to take advantage of all these podcasts and get out all this great information about the Hair Radio Show, get you all the events updates, get you access to therapy, the stuff I'm going to be using in my bid to make it look immaculate. You know, we want to be able to utilize all of these podcasts, all these avenues of communication. So, yes, folks, definitely check out that podcast.
Thank you very much. Harlem Willpower. And so, and Miss Terry, I have to say, and I'm thinking about Friday. Now, this is our big celebration, Friday. And what this is all about is really 550 episodes of this broadcast, of the morning show. Now, again, not my entire 26-year career in radio, but just this edition, this version of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And again, my favorite thing was just being able to Google the Hair Radio Morning Show. If you ever want to listen to episodes and you don't know how to find them, all you got to do is ask Google, what's the Hair Radio Morning Show? And bam. Miss Terry, what goes through your mind when I say that?
I just think it's been an amazing run thus far with 550 shows. That's a lot of shows. So my hat goes off to you and your team into putting 550 shows together, and I'm glad that I am able to be a part of the last few shows that we've put out. So 550, I'm looking forward to definitely celebrating with you on Friday on show number 550. I am
Thank
so
you.
Excited. Can't wait, can't well, wait, can't wait.
I'm loving it. And Harlan Will, I also, I'll tell you how I've been told about the impression that we've made and how many folks who've come after in radio. You know, before me, there were a lot of shows that were on as well, you know, so other folks are as well on doing radio stuff, but they really didn't number their broadcasts. So folks ask me, well, Carrie, how did you start, how did you even get the brain juice to start numbering your radio broadcasts? And the real answer to that is that I wanted to be able to identify shows, and even for our guests, it's kind of nice that if you can recall what was the first show that you were on, you know, what number show you were on, kind of gives you a good sense of how far you've come. And it's just a measuring tool. And for us and for me, I leave our very first show of the morning edition that we're talking about, the Hit Radio Morning Show. We have number one in there. And boy, when you listen to that show, I cringe. I literally cringe. It's probably one of the not so... If the information was good. Tando Cafele out of Brooklyn was our guest, a natural hair superstar, and with locks. He's the king of locks. And he was my guest on the show. Nothing against him. It wasn't his fault, but it was just mastering the technology. Took me forever. So it was the show, really. We literally did a slow climb. And that's kind of the way that you want to do things that are going to have the... But I was committed. I was absolutely committed. And I said, we're going to stay with this. We're going to ride it on out. And 550 episodes later, 3 hours each on average...
Still riding.
Still riding high. And it really puts us at the top of the heap. So I'm grateful. Yes. And, you know, so, you know, I appreciate you guys out there. And to my fellow on-air folks, I salute you. I'm saluting you right now through the radio. Because it is a part of what we're doing. And Ms. Terry, to kind of... get into some of this. We're going to introduce a lot more of the Hair Talk live right here on the show. So that we'll be getting with you about in a couple of days as we start to formulate our plan on how this will be rolled out on upcoming shows in addition to some of the talk that we have going on. But we want you to tune in Friday morning especially to help us celebrate, of course, the Hair Radio Morning Show 550th broadcast. But we also are looking for you to kind of join us each weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, that's 5 to 8 Central, for a brand new installment of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm really, really happy about that.
Bring the mimosas.
Bring them. Okay, all right. And that sounds great. It reminds me when I used to fly on the airplane. I was a flight attendant, for those folks who didn't know. I was based in Newark, and we had to go to places like St. Martin and Antigua and all these things and the islands. And they would always, that was a part of our routine. We had to make the mimosas. Well, what they didn't know, we were drinking those mimosas, too. I won't say which is lying and get in trouble. But we were having fun. Those were the days. Those were the days.
Flying high, hey, spirits.
Oh, yes. Okay. And, boy, I've got some great, one of these days, you know, on the radio show, we'll talk about that because I've got a lot of, I was a traveling expert, especially on, like, luggage and stuff like that. All that wonderful stuff. I taught reservations. I was a flight attendant.
Were you working for Spirit Airlines?
Why? What do you have against? Are you?
That was a little dry joke. Spirit.
Well, ironically, I did work for Spirit. Yes, but guess what? I really did work for Spirit at one point. I swear to you, as God is my witness, it's the truth. But I'll tell you something, and this is what I want to say to all of that. It was the best experience of my entire
life.
I'm sure. They were wonderful. I love Spirit. When it comes to the airlines, now our official airline at Hair Radio is Delta. Delta is the sponsor of Road to Healthy Hair Workshop, Delta Airlines. So when you fly Delta, use our discount code, and you'll save money when you're coming to the Road to Healthy Hair Workshop. That's in August. Now, so Delta is a big sponsor of ours, but I just want to safely say, since I did work for Spirit, and I worked for about five other airlines, they were wonderful. They are budget carrier, and we love them as well. So there's room for everybody. Into Atlantic City, we suggest that you take Delta into Philadelphia or Newark or one of the close-by airports and shuttle your way over to the Road to Healthy Hair coming up in August. So August 21st, 22nd, 23rd. If you need more information, we have a big website. It's a Hair Nation Expo event, so it's on our hairnationexpo.biz website. So you didn't realize I had worked for Spirit Airlines, did you?
No, I did not.
But it's really the truth.
I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah, it worked. You were right. But we did also, I worked for them and Continental and so many others along the way. And they were all, we're still great friends. I created a department for Continental that was then taken over by United, and they gave me a wonderful staff. So I have lots of wonderful experience to share with all of you guys out there. We'll talk about it someday, so I won't bore you today on the Hair Radio Morning Show, but I do want to say it's been, every show is just awesome, really. It's, you know, and each show that we do here is quite unique all by itself. So I'm loving that. I think it's nice. We will be doing a whole lot more hair talk. I know we've been heavy on political things and news events and everything else, but we will be introducing you to a lot more hair, folks. That is on the way. Plus, we have a lot of recorded material as well. So really good stuff. So, Harlem Will, what do you say when you hear 550 episodes of the Hair Radio Morning Show? And someone who is a fellow broadcaster. So what do you think?
I think I have a long road ahead of me before I meet catching up with Carrie Hines.
Oh, that's very kind.
It's inspiring, though. When you hear 550, you hear inspiring. I hear an inspiring number because, one, it continues. I don't want to say just one continues, but one of the things, it's continuing. It's an ongoing process. And it's motivating, and it tells you about a lot about the podcast, the show, the radio show itself. It tells you what about the creator, how you were in this for the long haul. You had something that you wanted to put out there that nobody believed in. Nobody thought this would be an option, a genre that people would want to listen to. And here you are, 550 episodes later, letting them know, I told you. Well, you don't say it so much, but I told you so. I told you people wanted to listen to hair topics.
I told you people were interested in here. And that's what the show represents. Like, so you don't even have to brag as much about it, because it just shows with episode 550. It shows with the sponsors. It shows with the guest that shows up. It just, it's very inspiring. And you just, it's something to emulate. It gives you something to emulate. You are my muse.
Oh, well, that's very kind. And I have to say, you're absolutely right. And 25 years ago, when I created the Hair Radio Show, it had never been on AM and FM radio as a regular broadcast, period. And folks were shocked. They see, nowadays you can listen to radio. They'll tell you how to change a car tire. They have a podcast on everything. But when I started this on regular AM and FM radio, there was no internet at that time. When I started this on regular AM and FM radio, they were shocked because they could not understand how we talk about hair. They just couldn't understand it. And so I had to educate them about that. And I said, well, you can really talk about anything. That's what I said back then. I said that way back 26 years ago, never knowing that the world would catch up with me, never knowing that I technically put out the first podcast, period, never knowing that 26 years I was creating a program and a platform that would last for three decades, never knowing that we'd be helping folks worldwide through education and information.
You hear that,
and look at the impact.
You hear that, Paris?
Yeah. Well, did you see the comment that someone put on our Hair Radio Show over in Africa? They put the comment, as I mentioned earlier in today's broadcast, about they were impacted by yesterday's show. And I'm shouting out, that was Mawarin over in Pothicourt, Nigeria.
Okay.
So, folks, we're doing it. So on that note, I have to say, Harlem Will, great job today. This was the most unorthodox of hair radio shows that we've done in a while. But I have to say, it was so heartwarming. And because we need to speak from the heart. Don't you agree, Miss Terry?
Absolutely. Definitely need to speak from the heart and have more shows where we can, you know, really sit down and just have just one-on-one chats and just, you know, just figure out ways to deal with different situations.
Okay.
But I think it was a great show as well.
Thank you. And Harlem Will, giving you the last word today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll see you back here. Of course, on Wednesday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Harlem Will, anything you want to leave us with today? Then we're going to the outro.
Let's inspire the next generation to be better than us. And let's go after being better than what we were today, tomorrow.
Okay, awesome. All right, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Here's the outro, everybody. Thanks again. Harlem Will, Miss Terry, have a great Tuesday.
It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey, on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021. That's three big days. Now, the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. The event is for everyone. You don't have to be a hair or beauty professional to come to our show. Let us know if you'd like to be a vendor. Call us. Call our office at 862-277-0686. And again, that number is 862-277-0686. Now, if you're interested in being a guest or advertising on the Hair Radio Morning Show, give us a call. And for those of you who are just starting your career as an entrepreneur, you want to pick up your very own copy of How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's by me, Carrie Hines, and is on sale at Amazon.com. Start your new career as a Caribbean Hair Products Distributor, where you'll make money and meet interesting folks selling our hair care system. Caribbean Shampoo, Caribbean Conditioner for the fellas is Caribbean Beard Oil. It's my very own hair growth system that's infused with caffeine to stimulate the scalp. And don't forget to tune in to our very next live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our program airs each weekday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 5 to 8 Central. And if you miss that live broadcast, we've got you covered. Go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio. And again, Hair Radio is always spelled just right.